Hello everyone, welcome to All About Nigeria, a podcast where our host talks about Nigeria's history, politics, infrastructure, and a whole range of other topics. We would love to hear your views about all the things we talk about, so join us on Twitter at All About Nigeria. Thank you for listening.
Once again, I welcome you to All About Nigeria podcast. Today we'll be talking about the leader, the first military leader after the Second Republic collapsed. We'll be discussing Major General Muhammadu Buhari, who is Nigeria's current executive president. But this particular sojourn into his life is when he was the military head of state of Nigeria, after his administration started after a successful coup d'etat. Major General Muhammadu Buhari was born on the 17th of December 1942 in Daura, Katsina State. His tribe is Fulani. His tenure that we are talking about was from December 31st, 1983 to August 27, 1985. The leadership position that he had was head of state. That was how the military were called, head of state and commander-in-chief of the armed forces. Major General Muhammadu Buhari's early life and education. He, like we said, born December 17, 1942 in Daura, Katsina State. His parents were Alhaji Hado Adamu, and his mother was Hajia Zulhatu Nimusa. He had his first primary education in Daura and May Audua Primary School. And this was from 1948 to 1952. And then he attended the Katsina Middle School from 1953 to 1955. He later on moved to Katsina Provincial Secondary School, which is now called the Government College Katsina. And he was there from 1956 to 1961. Buhari joined the military in 1962 and was commissioned second lieutenant in 1963. His military training comprised the following. He was at the Nigerian Military Training College, Kaduna, in 1962. He was at the Mons Officer Cadet School, Aldershot, United Kingdom, from 1962 to 1963. Then he attended Defence Services Staff College, Wellington, India, in 1973. The Army War College, also in the United States of America, from 1979 to 1980. Major General Buhari's military and political career we have the following highlights for his military and political career. He was platoon commander, 2nd Infantry Brigade in Abeokuta. He was also commander, 2nd Infantry Battalion from 1965 to 1967. He was appointed brigade major, 2nd Sector, 1st Infantry Division in April 1967. He was also the brigade major and commander, 31st Infantry Brigade between 1970 and 1971. Buhari was made Assistant Adjutant General, 1st Infantry Division Headquarters from 1971 to 72. He then became the military governor of Borno State. So we can see why Borno seems to be a project for the current head of state, and why he's very concerned about Borno State. He was the military governor of Borno State. He was the Federal Commissioner for Petroleum and Energy from 1976 to 1978. He was also the chairman of Nigerian National Petroleum Corporation. Again, Muhammadu served as the general officer commanding in the 3rd Armored Division, JOS, between 1981 and 1983. He became head of state of Nigeria on the 31st of December, 1983. This was after the success of the military coup that removed the civilian president of Alhaji Shehu Shagari from office. His deputy in power was Major General Babatunde Ideagbon of blessed memory, who was made the Chief of General Staff. When current President Buhari was head of state in 1983 to 85, he had a few notable actions as head of government. The first one was the Y campaign. Buhari's government that had truncated a civilian democratic rule, so international apathy remained against his government. In order to gain support for his government, Buhari and the other military personnel justified the coup by saying that the civilian administration that they overthrew had been hopelessly corrupt and indisciplined. He and his deputy, General Babatunde Ideagbon, then introduced the war against indiscipline. Why? This became a campaign. The Y campaign forced Nigerians to conduct themselves in public in a disciplined manner. People started queuing up at bus stops under the sharp eyes of whip-wielding soldiers. Civil servants who were late for work were publicly disgraced. Sometimes they were made to do frog jumps. People were also made to dispose of trash properly. Markets were cleaned regularly. Everybody cleared their homes and surroundings in a monthly environmental sanitation exercise, which was fixed for the last Saturday of every month all over Nigeria. This practice was backed by law, and it continued for a very long time and still continues in some states till today. But in Lagos State, the environmental sanitation was declared unconstitutional and has been stopped. The Y campaign was strict, but Nigerians complied, especially because the sanctions for disobedience were harsh and humiliating. On the 27th of August 1985, there was a successful military coup organized by General Ibrahim Babangida, which removed Major General Buhari from power. He was compulsorily retired from the army and put under house arrest for 40 months from August 27, 1985 to December 13, 1988. Under the administration of General Muhammadu Buhari, there were a few human rights abuses. There were laws that people declared to be wicked laws, decrees that were promulgated, which were known to people as the wicked decrees. The first one was decree number 2. Buhari and Major General Ideagbon were at first popular with Nigerians when they took over power, because the people had felt that the second election, which made Alhaji Shehu Shagari to retain power, was fraught with a lot of rigging. So they didn't think the election was legitimate. So the military were welcomed. But once the laws started to come out, the decrees started to come out, and they were harsh and terrible, Nigerians began to feel a little bit disappointed. One law that was really hated was decree number 2, the state detention of persons decree. This law allowed the government, especially the number 2 man, Major General Ideagbon, to arrest and detain anyone for a long time without trial. The people arrested did not have to have committed any offense. They were arrested and detained if the government said they were a threat to the nation. Of course, there were many cases filed against decree number 2 in courts, but in virtually all the cases, the courts had no other decision but to say that the decree was absolute, it was law, and it had to be obeyed, and Buhari and generally Diagmo could not be questioned. The second decree was decree number 4. In decree number 4, Diagmo and Buhari were allowed to detain any journalist or anyone who criticized government actions or government officials. Two journalists, Tunde Thompson and Nduka Irabor from the Guardian newspapers, were arrested, tried, and jailed by a military tribunal. Countries abroad and citizens everywhere criticized the government of Buhari, and it was even more unpopular from then onwards. When we now consider the current administration of the President Buhari, and we see people complain about journalists being arrested, a lot of us who lived throughout the time of decrees number 2 and number 4 actually find it very, very amusing, because journalists are very, very free under this civilian administration. Under the military administration, if you published anything, you could be arrested and you could be jailed, as exemplified by the case of Tunde Thompson and Nduka Irabor. It is curious that Tunde Thompson became one of the supporters of the current president, Muhammadu Buhari. The third decree was decree number 27. Buhari promulgated the miscellaneous offenses decree, under which cheating in examinations, stealing or vandalizing public property, such as those of the National Electric Power Authority or the Nigerian Telecommunications Limited, NITEL, meant being prosecuted in a military tribunal and facing jail terms of a maximum of 20 years. Now, we might consider that these decrees were harsh, and they were, but we would see that most of the problems that the administration of Buhari in the military era sought to correct are still things that are still with us. There were other unpopular actions by the administration of Buhari and Idiagmo, but we must also consider that there was a Supreme Military Council, which was the Legislative Council, and all the members of the Supreme Military Council were actually also part of the executive, you know. So we can say that although Buhari and Idiagmo were the arrowheads, the Supreme Military Council were part and parcel of those who gave enabling law to back up most of their actions. There were so many other unpopular actions. Buhari and Idiagmo arrested and tried in court some people who were arrested for trafficking hard drugs, such as cocaine and heroin. Three of such convicts were publicly executed by firing squad. It wasn't as if this was the problem. The problem was that the people were condemned to death based on a retroactive permission of the law. They had committed the offenses when the law setting a death sentence as punishment for trafficking in hard drugs had not been promulgated. So the convicts that were executed by firing squad made a lot of people to feel that the administration was very draconian. Nigerians considered the punishment too severe, and they disapproved of the government of Buhari and Idiagmo, especially when it actually executed the first set of traffickers, even though they had been convicted on a law that had been made retroactive. Many people felt that since the law was retroactive, they should not have gotten the death sentence. The men executed had committed those offenses, like I said, when no such law was in force. We will take a break shortly so as to have the second part of the podcast on Major General Muhammadu Buhari.